Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Morning, Pittsburgh. Morning, Pitt fans. It is game day. The hay's in the barn. The boys are in the Thunderdome. The Panthers are at Heinz Field. And I'm Chris Peake here with your Panthers Insider Show. I'm getting you started on this full day of Pitt coverage on 93.7 The Fan. Of course, Pitt hosting NC State at Heinz Field. Noon kickoff on that one. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. And really, that's the culmination. Well, not the culmination. That's the main event of the day. Pitt against NC State. But it's really, it's like the third or fourth thing that's going to happen Pitt-related here on The Fan all day. You got that game at noon. Before that, like 10 o'clock, I think you got Larry Richard and Pat Bostic doing the official Pitt pregame show. 9 o'clock, you got Paul Zeiss and Doran Dickerson and Bob Pompiani doing the pregame show, and then it all starts right here at 8 a.m. when we do an hour of Pitt talk every week for the Panthers Insider Show with me, Chris Peake, from PantherLair.com. So I mean, it's all, and then after the game, there's post-game shows as well. So I mean, it's all Pitt all the time here on 93.7 The Fan. It's a college football Saturday, and it's your college football team here in Pittsburgh. University of Pitt Panthers. University of Pitt. Nobody says University of Pitt. People say that, and it's awkward, and I just said it because I didn't want to repeat Pittsburgh. Either way, it's a big day for Pitt here. As the Panthers look to go to 4-0, they host NC State. The Wolfpack are 1-1, and should be a game that Pitt wins. I mean, I'm going to say that right out. You know, I mean, I don't think NC State is a pushover. They're not Syracuse. They're not as they're better than Syracuse, probably. I think they've got some talented players on offense. They have some good running backs. They try and run the ball. They've got good wide receivers, some big wide receivers. They got a big tight end, kid who transferred from Florida State. I mean, they've got some players on offense. Their defense isn't great, but they've got some good players on offense. This could be an offense that challenges Pitt's defense a little bit. But we also said that last week. We also said that last week when Pitt was getting ready to host Louisville, that, well, you better watch out. This Louisville offense, they're going to score points. And they did. They put up 20. They also got sacked 7 times and threw 3 interceptions and generally didn't do a whole lot. I think they had 1 third down conversion. And they looked extremely ordinary and average in that game, which, of course, ended up being a Pitt win to improve to 3-0. But I don't have really any worries about Pitt's defense here. Pitt's defense, as we all know, is very, very good, and it's been playing very, very well. And even if they give up a little bit of points here or there, they're going to make enough impact plays to give you a chance to win really every game on the schedule. I mean, I'm at that point right now with this defense where I would say you're going to have a chance to win every game on the schedule thanks to the play on that side of the ball. But you know that's not what our main focus is this week, right? That's not what we've been talking about and writing about and discussing and debating and asking questions about all week. It's not about what Pitt can do on defense or whether Pitt can stop Ricky Person and, you know, Devin Leary and those receivers and Kerry Angeline and all that stuff. We're not worried about that. I'm not worried about that. They're going to do what they do, and they're going to do it well. And they're going to make sure that it counts. What I am worried about, what you are worried about, and what probably some people at Pitt are worried about is the other side of the ball. Because even though Pitt's defense was downright dominating and suffocated Louisville's offense, save for one busted play in the run, and then kind of a missed coverage on a short field after a turnover, we didn't talk all that much about that this week. We didn't spend all that much time discussing the defense. I mean, I did here and there because I felt like it would be a shame to let such an impressive performance just be completely ignored. But the fact of the matter is, even though they played that well, even though they dominated like that, it still ended up being a three-point game because Pitt's offense can't score. And once again, here we are talking about Pitt's offense and how the offense is holding the team back. Now, it hasn't cost them any wins this season. They're 3-0. So the offense has obviously done enough. They've outscored the opponent. You only got to beat them by 1 point, and they've done that. But I think the thing that concerns most people, and certainly what's concerning to me, is that as I sit here and look at this team after three games, and I look at the offense, and I look at the defense, and I try and figure out what's going on, what's going well, what's not, it all feels a lot, it feels too much like last season. And I think that's what concerns people, because it's hard to come out of the 2019 season and not feel like there were a lot of missed opportunities, that it was a disappointment of a season. To go 7-5 in the regular season with the way that defense played and the schedule they had, I mean, that was a letdown. I mean, that was a letdown. That was an underachieving performance. It was a disappointment to go 7-5 against that schedule. They should have been no worse than 9-3. But the difference between 9-3 and 7-5, and this is something we can very much quantify and very much put a very fine point on it, the difference between 9-3 and 7-5 for Pitt in 2019 was the Miami game and the Boston College game. In both of those games, Pitt's defense played well enough to win. And don't talk to me about the Boston College game, how they gave up all these rushing yards. Number one, A.J. Dillon's really good. Number two, Pitt's offense couldn't stay on the field long enough to give the defense time to rest. Eventually, they were going to get worn down against that rushing attack if they had to keep going on the field, and that's what happened. And they still only gave up 26 points. And if you hold an opponent to 26 points and you're a competent college offense, you should have a better than even chance of winning. And if you hold an opponent to 16 points like they did against Miami, you have blown an opportunity if you end up losing. And Pitt lost both of those games. That is the difference between 9-3 and 7-5. That is on the offense. The offense wasn't good enough. And I can make a case that the offense wasn't good enough against Virginia, and that the offense cost them that game with turnovers and short fields. I can make a case that the defense played pretty well, maybe even well enough to win in that game, that season opener against Virginia. But they were just faced with a lot of short fields, and there wasn't a lot they could do in those situations. I can make a case that the defense, despite the final score of 28-0, played well enough to win in the game against Virginia Tech. Go look at the stats from that game. Virginia Tech scored a defensive touchdown, so that's really only three touchdowns given up. And if you hold your opponent to three offensive touchdowns, then you should have a better than even chance of winning. But Pitt's offense was so bad that day, so stuck in the mud, literally and figuratively, because it was a rainstorm that day. But Pitt's offense was so bad that day that they blew the game. So I could even make a case for those two games, Virginia and Virginia Tech. But there we'd have to get into some mental gymnastics and you know, not stretch the boundaries of reason, but a little bit. Get a little bit too far into hypotheticals. I don't have to get far into hypotheticals with the Boston College or the Miami games. Those games were lost by the offense, period, point blank. And that's the difference between 9-3 and 7-5. How are you feeling coming out of last season if they go 9-3 in the regular season? Let's say they win their bowl game. They have a 10-3 season for the first time since 2009. How are you feeling about that year compared to going 7-5 in the regular season, getting to 8-5 with a fourth quarter comeback against Eastern Michigan, literally the final minute of the game to beat Eastern Michigan, and you end up 8-5. Well, I can tell you there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm around the program. I shouldn't say around the program. I don't mean in the building, but I'm saying among the fan base, among the people who read PantherLair.com, the Pitt fans I talk to on a regular basis, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm in the offseason. They were excited about Patrick Jones and Jalen Twyman and Paris Ford coming back, but that did little to alleviate their biggest concern, which was Pitt's offense, which continues to be Pitt's offense. Because three games, at least the last two, which have been against Power 5 competition, did very little to alleviate those concerns. Because we're seeing the same issues over and over again. Drop passes, procedure penalties, turnovers, poor execution. And we can talk up and down about Mark Whipple, and we will. And Mark Whipple deserves blame in this situation. He's the coordinator. All right? Just like in 2018, I didn't hold everything against Sean Watson. I thought there were issues that were maybe even out of his control to some extent. But you're the coordinator, you're the guy who's responsible for it, and ultimately it's going to fall on you if you fail to perform. And it fell on Sean Watson in 2018. And if this offense this year keeps up at the pace it's going and keeps playing like it has, and, you know, presumably, ostensibly costs them a couple games, then it's going to fall on Mark Whipple too. And I'm not saying he should be fired or not fired. I don't get into that game. I don't like saying a guy should lose his job. And I know, oh, we're opinion makers and it's sports talk radio. Nah, I'm not going to say a guy should lose his job. Okay, that's Pat Narduzzi's decision to make, because ultimately the failures or successes of his coordinators are going to fall on him. And if Mark Whipple can't right this ship, then it's going to fall on Whipple and by extension Narduzzi. So he takes some of the blame, but there's also a lot about those 11 guys on the field just not executing very well. I mean, you watch the games and there are plays to be made and they're not making them. The running backs aren't seeing the holes when the holes are there. The receivers aren't making the catches when the balls are there. The quarterback's not seeing the field well when he starts to sense pressure. There are a lot of things going wrong with this offense right now. And if they don't figure them out, they're going to waste a championship-level defense, because that's what Pitt's defense has looked like through three games. And they'll face stiffer competition down the road, and they'll face lighter competition down the road. But this past week against Louisville was supposed to be the stiffer competition. That was supposed to be the game that was really going to find out if this defense is for real, or that was supposed to be the game that was really going to, you know, put pressure on this defense, and they weren't going to be able to push them around like they did Syracuse. Well, they ended up with 7 sacks and 3 interceptions. You know, they dominated that Louisville offense, except for, you know, again, one busted, you know, assignment on a long run. Louisville didn't do, you know, and it ultimately ended up being the running back speed that he was able to, you know, take that busted assignment and turn it into a 75-yard run or 16, whatever it was. But, it was Pitt's doing as much, if not more, than it was Louisville's doing. It was Pitt's doing that touchdown was scored. That's how good this defense is, and they still only eked out a 3-point win against a Louisville defense that's not very good. Pitt should have scored a lot more and had a lot more success against that Louisville defense, but they didn't, and that's what's concerning, and that's why we continue to talk about the offense. And I want to focus on the defense. I want to talk about the defense and how well those guys are playing and how young players have emerged and how there's breakout stars that are, you know, encouraging for this year and beyond, and, you know, they're getting turnovers and all these different things, and I will talk about them, and they're in my notes right now that I'm going to talk about these topics, but I can't sit down and start talking about Pitt football 2020 without saying what is wrong with this offense. And the issues go through all 11 players. Every position on that offense has its issues right now. And if they figure them out, this team can win a whole lot. And if they don't, I don't think they're going to go, you know, 5-6 or 4-7. You know, they'll probably end up 7-4 or something like that, which will be a disappointing record given the caliber of play this defense is capable of. If they only go 7-4, that's a disappointment. That's the equivalent of going 7-5, you know, last year. And if they go worse than 7-4, then you got a lot of questions. All right, let's talk more. You know, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a lot more, actually, because we got a lot of things to cover today on the Panthers Insider Show. We'll talk about everything. Offense, defense, special teams. It's all on the table as we get ready for Pitt NC State later today. We'll be right back. It's the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show and Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek leading up to today's game against NC State at Heinz Field. Here on 93.7 The Fan, noon kickoff for that one. And we're talking about how Pitt is 3-0 and how they've got it, you know, the 3-0 for the first time since 2014. And, you know, the fact that this is a pretty good football team. I mean, they have a great defense, and they have an offense that I think has the pieces to be competent. You know, an offense that has the pieces to win games when its defense only gives up 20 points or only gives up 10 points. An offense that I think is capable of scoring 4 touchdowns in a game. which if they do that, if they were to score four touchdowns in a game, it probably would be enough to win just about any game they're going to play. I don't see this defense giving up much more than 24 or 27 points a week. You know, I mean, in any given week, you know, and their season average will be far below that, I would say. It's already only at like 10 points per game or something. So I don't see much. I mean, they're going to obviously end up averaging more than 10 points per game on scoring defense. But I don't see them having very many games. I mean, Clemson might be the only one where there's a real chance that the opposing offense goes over 27 points. So if you can get four touchdowns, that shouldn't be too much to ask. Just once a quarter. Who knows? Maybe you have a crazy quarter. You score two touchdowns in one quarter. Just score two touchdowns in a quarter. And then you only have to get two the rest of the game. And if you get four touchdowns, you'll probably win. You get four touchdowns and a field goal, you're 99% win expectancy. You know? It shouldn't be that hard, but for some reason this Pitt offense struggles with it. But how much can they really achieve? You know, what is Pitt's ceiling if this offense doesn't figure it out? We'll talk about some historical perspective on scoring and how it correlates to success when we come back after the update here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Chris Peake. With you for this hour here from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. It really leads into the full morning, full day of Pitt coverage here on 93.7 The Fan. The main event, of course, is the noon kickoff against NC State. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We got pregame for a couple hours before that. Really, my show here until 9 o'clock will lead into Pitt pregame show, into another Pitt pregame show, into the game, into a postgame show. I mean, if you're a Pitt fan and you want to keep up on this game today, get ready for the game, know what's happening in the game, and talk about it after the game, I mean, right here, 93.7 The Fan, this is the place you want to be pretty much all day on Saturday. Don't turn your radio off. Don't change the dial. This is your house for this particular Saturday. And we're talking about this Pitt team sitting at 3-0. First time since 2014 they've been 3-0. And talking about the possibilities of what they could really accomplish if this offense doesn't get any better. I mean, they're 3-0 in spite of the offense. You know, I mean, really. The defense has won each of these last two games, and we'll set Austin Peay aside. I mean, Pitt's offense was pretty good against Austin Peay, obviously, but we're obviously not going to put a lot of stock in that game. When you look at Syracuse and Louisville, and I think Syracuse had a better defense than we gave them credit for. You know what I mean? I think they have a challenging scheme with that 3-3-5 look. I think their defensive linemen are good. I think it's hard to get a read on where their extra rushers are coming from. I think they have a talented secondary. We should give them more credit than we have. I think that could be a challenging game. But Louisville, there's no reason that Pitt should only score 23 points against Louisville. You know, there's no reason Pitt should only score two touchdowns against Louisville. Thank God for Alex Kessman in that game. For how many times we said that, you know, if Kessman made his kicks, that Syracuse game would have been 30-10, and then it'd look a lot different. Well, yeah, and if Kessman didn't make his kicks against Louisville, that game would have been 20-14 and a loss. And that would look a whole lot different. I don't want to, you know, as we talk so much about the offense, we talk so much about the defense, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Alex Kessman saved Pitt's behind in that game against Louisville last week. He had a huge, huge comeback game. After missing every field goal he attempted in the Austin Peay game and the Syracuse game, it was good to see Kessman get right, make 3 out of 3, and start to look comfortable really for the first time all season. So you got to give props to that. But we're talking about how far this Pitt offense can go, or how far this Pitt team can go with the offense playing the way it's been playing. You know, they're 3-0 for the first time since 2014. They beat NC State. They'll be 4-0 for the first time since 2000. So, I mean, the second time this century that they've been 4-0. And if they beat Boston, if they beat NC State this week, if they beat NC State today, and then they beat Boston College next week, they'll be 5-0 for the first time since 1991. You're talking almost 30 years between 5-0 starts to a season. Now, that's way down the road. That's looking way too far ahead, because obviously the focus has to be today, and the, you know, bulk of the curiosity is about whether or not they can actually win today and what they can do against NC State. But, you know, I think when you look, though, at the big picture and you try to say, okay, what can this team really achieve if the offense doesn't get any better? And so I went back and looked at the last few years. of college football. And let's set the bar at like 23 points per game. All right, Pitt right now, I mean, they're averaging 33 points per game. That's a great number. If you could average 33 points per game all season, they might go 9-2 or 10-1. But against Power 5 competition, against Syracuse and Louisville, they're only averaging 22 points per game. So let's say right around there. In the last 5 years, there have only been two teams that have averaged less than 23 points per game and won 9 games. Now, winning 9 games in any of the last 5 seasons is going to be a little different than winning 9 games this year. Going 9-2 is a little different than going 9-4. But if you consider that a 9-win season is generally a success, you know, I mean, that's a good season. If you're going to draw a line somewhere, I think 8 is okay, acceptable. 8 should be the, you know, the sort of the minimum acceptable number of wins in a regular season. And then once you cross over to 9 wins, I think you start really kind of climbing the mountain of what a good season is. You know what I mean? You've taken the first step, and you could say that was a good season. They won 9 games, you know, and then 10 games. Oh, you know, that's a really good season. 11 games. Wow, they had a great year. 12 games. Holy cow, they're going to the playoffs. So 9 wins, I feel like, is where you cross over. So if we're going to define as a good season as a 9-win season, and we look back over the last 5 seasons of college football, there have only been two teams that were able to get to that plateau, get to that number of 9 wins, while averaging less than 23 points per game. One of them was last year. San Diego State actually went 10-3. They averaged 21.2 points per game on offense. But they had the number two defense in the nation. 12.7 points per game allowed. Number two defense in the nation. So I guess if you have the number two defense in the nation, you play in the Mountain West or wherever San Diego State plays, then you can get away with scoring 21.2 points per game on offense and go 10-3. Pitt averaged 21.2 points per game on offense last year and went 8-5. There's a little bit of a difference there. The other time that a team in the last 5 years has won at least 9 games while averaging less than 23 points per game was Northwestern in 2015. They went 10-3. They averaged 19.5 points per game on offense, and their defense gave up 18.6. So, I mean, less than 1 point differential. And when you look at that Northwestern team's schedule, I mean, it was just like they blew out Minnesota like 27-0, and then the next week, you know, the next 2 weeks, they lost games by a combined total of like 78-10. So they were kind of like all over the place. They were either blowing out teams or getting blown out. So that's a weird one to look at. But the larger point stands. It's pretty hard to get to that plateau, to get to that level of what would count as a good season of 9 wins when you're scoring less than 23 points per game. I mean, like, even if you look at Pat Narduzzi's last year at Michigan State, 2014, you know, and they went to the Cotton Bowl and they won, you know, 11 games or whatever, they averaged 43 points per game. They're the number 7 offense in the country. They ranked better in offense than they did in defense. And the next year, when Narduzzi came to Pitt, but Michigan State continued to have some success, they won 12 games, they went to the college football playoffs, they won the Big Ten championship, they averaged almost 30 points per game. You have to score. It's really that simple. And I think we throw it around a lot of times. Well, in college football these days, you got to be ready to score this many points. But I mean, it's true. It's not just a cliche based on nothing. It's true. You really have to be able to, you have to be potent. You have to be effective and competent. You have to be competent on offense. And Pitt was not last year. And thus far, they have not been this year. And if they want to get to the level that I think they're capable of getting to, that I know they want to get to, they got to figure out a way to do it. All right, reasons for optimism. We'll turn the tide of this conversation. We'll talk about a little some optimistic things, some things that I think this offense can do better when we come back right here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Pete with you until 9 o'clock talking about Pitt football as the Panthers get ready to host NC State, Heinz Field this afternoon. And, you know, I've really been hammering on the offense so far in this show, You know, I was hammering on the offense all week on PantherPlayer.com, hammering on the offense Tuesday night on the PantherPlayer podcast. I mean, and I know I'm not alone in that. I read the message boards at PantherPlayer.com. I see the conversations we're having on the boards there or on Facebook or on Twitter. I mean, everybody's in the same boat of thinking this offense could submarine this season. You know, that this defense is really, really good, and the offense is on the verge of blowing it. You know, and they're going to blow games if they keep playing the way they have. I still, you know, just to kind of turn the tide a little bit and not be overly negative here, or all negative, I should say, I still am bullish on some of these skill players. I mean, I think Jordan Addison is a stud. Yeah, he didn't catch the big fourth down pass, but he made a couple other catches in that game on Saturday that I don't want to say they made up for missing the fourth down pass that was there for him to catch. But, I mean, he made enough catches that I'm not losing any confidence in him. I think he's good. I think Taysir Mack had a nice return after being out. I think there is potential in this running back core. They've got to get everybody healthy and then settle into a solid rotation and figure out how they want to rotate those guys. Even if you just want to go with the younger guys, Vincent Davis and Daniel Carter and Israel Abanikanda, that's fine. You've just got to figure out who can really do it. And I think they're still working on that process. You know, Lucas Kroll, like to see him get healthy because I think he can help this offense and make some plays out there. And I think the offensive line is coming along. Kenny Pickett has to get better. And I'm not saying this, it could sound like I was setting this up to be a bash on Pickett, but it's not. I think he's been fine. I think he's good enough to help them win games, but I think he can be a little better. Everybody on this offense just has to be a little cleaner. Just execute a little crisper. You know, and it's the same thing we talked about last year. It's the same thing we talked about all offseason. They've got to execute better. They've got to clean it up. All right, we come back. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's talk about the defense, some of the emerging players there, some of the trends that are undeniable as we look at a unit that has been truly dominating through the first three games. We'll talk about that when we come back after the update on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peek from PantherLair.com. If you're a Pitt fan, you should know that website, Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. I always like to say that it's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet, football, basketball, recruiting. You can find it all at PantherLair.com. And, of course, we have message boards, which sometimes even though I like to think that my articles are the big appeal of the site, and I think they are. I think the news report, the content we provide is certainly what draws people in. But the message boards are a big part of it. There's no question, because it's basically you and hundreds and thousands of other hardcore dedicated Pitt fans and just sitting around and talking Pitt sports all the time. And it really, the message boards really do go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, it's full bore all the time, and there's always stuff to talk about. I mean, even through the spring and summer this year, where people say, well, there's no sports going on, what do you do, how are you surviving with no sports? Well, Pitt fans like talking about Pitt. You know, I mean, that's why you're listening to this radio show right now. That's why people listen to my podcast. That's why people read the site. Pitt fans like Pitt talk. You know, they always say they don't feel like they get enough Pitt sports talk on the airwaves on local sports talk stations in Pittsburgh, really. They want more Pitt talk. And I think they actually do a good job here at The Fan. I mean, I listen throughout the week. I think all the shows dedicate segments to Pitt. You know, they bring up the relevant Pitt topics and talk about it. And so, you know, I feel like Pitt fans just want more. They always want more Pitt conversation. Well, you're going to get it all day long at panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com. Like I say, it's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. We have a special running. I got to tell you about this real quick. We have a special running right now, and you can find it at pantherlair.com. It's you sign up for an annual subscription, and your first year you get for $12. $12. It's like 20 cents a week or something like that. I mean, it's an absurd amount. It's like 3 cents a day. You get $12 for a year of the best Pitt coverage. So if you're a Pitt fan, go to panther-lair.com. Look on the front page. We've got a special offer there of, like I say, $12 for a year of the best Pitt coverage, you can't beat that. The other thing you can't beat right now is how Pitt's defense is playing. You like that segue? See how I did that? You know, and there are so many things that stand out. I mean, obviously 17 sacks through three games. I mean, they're on pace for more sacks than they had last year. Last year, they ended up with 51 sacks in 13 games. Right now, they're on pace for like 68 sacks. And those on-pace statistics are kind of dumb. I recognize that. I always say that when people are, so-and-so is on pace for this, or so-and-so is on pace for that. I mean, that doesn't really, it doesn't work that way, you know, like especially early in the season, even after three games, it's still too early to talk about being on pace. But when they went out and got seven sacks against Louisville, I said, well, maybe they can keep this pace up. It's funny because we're at a point with this Pitt defense, particularly the pass rush, where if they go out and have a game where they only get three sacks, it's going to be a disappointment. Even though for most teams, three or even four sacks would be, that's a really good game. That's a very good, strong pass rushing game. Well, if this Pitt defense goes out and only has three or four sacks in a game, it's going to be disappointing because they've set the bar so high for themselves. The other thing that's really notable to me, though, is not just the sacks and the pressures, although it's connected to that. The thing that's really notable to me is the turnovers. They have eight turnovers so far, this Pitt defense does. Six interceptions and two fumbles. Eight turnovers in three games. Last year, they had 14 turnovers all season long. I mean, let that sink in for a second. Eight through three games, 14 all of last year. And that was a number I could never really get my head around. I couldn't figure it out. Because I looked it up, and I wish I could find the stats. I could look it up again, but there, you know, Pitt had 51 sacks last season and 14 turnovers. And every other team that had more than like 35 or 38 sacks was like 18 plus turnovers. You know, they had at least like 18 or so. I mean, Pitt was by far the lowest of anybody who had 50 sacks, anybody who had 40 sacks, and I think down into the 30s before you started finding teams that dipped as low as Pitt in turnovers. And it just didn't make sense because pressure on the quarterback and sacks should lead to turnovers. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, if you're pressuring the quarterback, he's probably going to make bad decisions. He's going to rush his throws, make poor throws, and you're going to have an opportunity to pick them off. Or you're going to get to the quarterback and you're going to strip the ball. And it didn't make any sense that all those pressures they were getting and all those sacks they were getting weren't leading to more turnovers. And I said, you know, the only thing I can say to explain it is bad luck. You know, they just were unlucky that they weren't generating more turnovers, and you expected there would be some positive regression to the mean. Well, it's happening so far with eight turnovers through three games. The key then, of course, is you're going to get those turnovers. You've got to turn them into points, which is what Pitt's opponents did against Pitt last year and what Pitt's offense has yet to really be able to cash in on this year. They had three interceptions against Louisville and got 3 points out of it. Now, one of those interceptions was at the end of the game. They ended up running out of the clock. But, I mean, the other two interceptions, all they got was a field goal. They had five forced turnovers against Syracuse and Louisville combined. Take out that one at the end of the game against Louisville. So you say the other four, three interceptions and a fumble. Two, a pick and a fumble against Syracuse, two interceptions against Louisville. They got a total of 10 points out of that. You have to do better to capitalize. Your defense is giving you turnovers now. Your defense is getting the ball for you, and a lot of times in good position. They got the ball at the Syracuse 33 after a fumble recovery and ended up missing a field goal. They got the ball at the Louisville 49 after an interception and got a field goal out of it. The only time they scored a touchdown after a turnover, they got the ball at their own 34 after an interception against Syracuse, and they went 8 plays, 66 yards. You have to capitalize on these situations. Your defense is giving you these opportunities. You've got to be able to capitalize. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the show, send you into your next hour of Pitt programming. Don't go anywhere. It's the Panthers Insider Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek almost done with you here as we take you up to the top of the hour where Paul Zeiss and Doran Dickerson and Bob Pompiani will take over for the next hour of Pitt programming here on The Fan, which will lead into the official Pitt pregame show at 10 a.m. Larry Richard, Pat Bostick, a couple hours talking with those guys to get ready for the game. Kickoff at noon, Bill Hillgrove has the call with Pat Bostick and Larry Richard. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Everyone complains about not being able to watch the game. And if you don't have the ACC network, well, you definitely have access to 93.7 The Fan. You can listen to the game right here on The Fan. And, I mean, this is a game that Pitt should win against NC State. I don't think there's any question about it. They're favored by two touchdowns or something like that. I don't know if they're going to cover. I don't think they're going to cover. They don't usually cover big numbers like that. And so I don't expect them to cover here. But, my one prediction for this game is that I think Pitt will score a little more, maybe get up to that four touchdown range and, possibly get one of those touchdowns off of a turnover. Either the defense scores or the offense gets good field position and cashes it in. They just need to take some steps forward. They need to get a little bit better. They need to show some progress and create some optimism that this offense is going to improve. Because right now you're circling that date against Miami. Got to beat NC State, got to beat Boston College, but you're looking ahead to Miami. That's the big one. And you're going to have to score to win that game.